This is the second quote podcast for Train Dreams by Dennis Johnson. I'll be looking at a quotation from page 68 and 69 of the book. If you'd like to follow along, please turn there now. The quote reads, this starts in the middle of a dialogue at the bottom of page 68. Mr. Grainier had been shot right here, Peterson pointed to the bandages around his left shoulder and chest, by my own dog. Peterson continued, I believe he did it because he'd been confabulating with that wolf girl person, if she is a person. Or, I don't know. A creature is what you can call her, if ever she was created. But there are some creatures on this earth that God didn't create. Confabulating? And that's Grainier there at the end, kind of asking that question. And this is the beginning of the kind of repeated episodes involving the wolf girl, and I'll probably be talking a little bit more about this in the third episode of this podcast for Train Dreams as well, but I want to draw your attention to a couple of aspects about this quote, because I think it's fairly interesting, and it'll draw out a couple of other kind of major themes in this text, so we'll move through this. But the first thing I want to draw your attention to is Peterson's use of the word confabulating. The word means two different things in English. On the one hand, these are from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. On the one hand, it means to engage in conversation or talk, which I think is the way that Peterson intends it to be used here. But the other definition of the word I think is interesting is fabricate imaginary experiences as compensation for loss of memory. And I think that's a really interesting word choice to think about in the context of this novel, because starting here around page 68, when we get Peterson's account of how his dog shot him and the fact that he really believes that the dog actually maliciously shot him, you know, we think it could be this setup for this kind of comic story where the dog accidentally pulled the trigger or something. You know, it's kind of like one of these sort of like Jeff Foxworthy kind of redneck jokes or something. But instead, it's actually this idea that the dog knew he wanted to kill him, and because it was involved with this mythical wolf girl, in some way it was malicious towards him. And what I think is interesting about the use of the word confabulating here is that this moment when you have this, you know, puzzling word choice that's repeated, and Grainier actually asks it as a question, to Peterson, this is the moment when the book becomes significantly more invested in mythology or the supernatural, because this is right before Grainier has his experience with his dead wife. This is before, which is on page 77 and 80. And then this is also sets up the part when from 99 to 104, when he encounters Kate, his daughter, who is of course the wolf girl, mentioned in this beginning. So this is where the novel takes, I think, an unusual left turn into a kind of supernatural mode. And I mentioned this in the introduction to this novel, that I think this book does this kind of unusual juxtaposition between the supernatural and the realistic. And I think this is where we start to see this. But the specific use of the word confabulating and its specific repetition. So Peterson says that his dog had been confabulating with that wolf girl person. And then Grainier says, confabulating? Is, I think, really important, because one of the things that we could say is that the only thing we know for sure about this book, you know, that we can be pretty sure happened in the way it's described, is the death of his wife and the presumed death of his child. We don't know it for a fact, but we do know that, I think they said that at some point his body of his wife was found, or there's some reason that he knows that his wife is dead. And everything else in the novel kind of orbits around that in some way, because there's the bit when he talks about, I believe this is on page 61. It's on 62, when he talks about, he's running errands with his pack horses, and he says, some of these errands took him down along the Kootenai River, and traveling beside it always brought into his mind the image of William Coswell Haley, the dying boomer. Rather than wearing away, Grainier's regret at not having helped the man had grown much keener as the years had passed. Sometimes he thought also of the Chinese railroad hand he'd almost helped to kill. The thought paralyzed his heart. He was certain the man had taken his revenge by calling down a curse that had incinerated Kate and Gladys. He believed that punishment was too great. And what I think is interesting here is that we feel that these kind of early incidents involving Haley and the Chinese railroad hand, quoted in that quote, Grainier feels that he's being cursed because of his actions in those. And then the kind of later things where he sort of deals with the death of his wife and the death of his child in a kind of supernatural fashion are perhaps his ability to explain these. And I think also, given the fact that Johnson writes about the fact that Grainier doesn't know how old he is and doesn't know where he was born because he doesn't, doesn't remember his family. I think that's a really interesting moment also. So I think this use of the word confabulating is really important in this novel because it highlights the fact that what we could be seeing going on here, rather than being sort of a realistic depiction of the West, is this kind of compensation for this man's lack of memories, lack of knowledge. He doesn't know what happened to his family, his parents. He doesn't know what happened to his wife and child. And so he resorts in some way to the supernatural in order to explain them. So I think this is an interesting kind of moment here because it really marks a sort of transitional point in the novel because, as I said, he's going to have this encounter with his dead wife that is weirdly, I think, if you look at this on page 80, because again, this is one of those things that I think is an open question in the book. So this is page 80. So he's been talking to Gladys and says he was talking out loud, but where was Gladys to hear him? He sensed her presence no more. The cabin was dark. And at this point, we could say, okay, this is a hallucination, because that's how we clearly are coded as kind of rational scientific beings to experience these kind of ghostly haunting type things. That's what we think is going on. But then the last line of the chapter says, the dog no longer trembled. And I think that's a really striking moment in this novel because somehow the dog having been scared by Gladys seems to be validation that she was actually there. And that's what I think is really interesting about this novel, is that Johnson gives you enough evidence to suggest that these supernatural things, while maybe not real in any kind of verifiable fashion, are real enough to the characters. You can also talk about the sort of hysteria surrounding the wolf girl that's discussed page 69 to 73, that begins with the quote we started with in this podcast. So I think there's a real interesting question about the role of the supernatural in the world at this time that I think Johnson does a good job of really capturing. I think in a lot of ways also the sort of interjection of the supernatural, the wolf girl, Gladys, and all of that points to a kind of reevaluation of the sort of Wild West tall tale. Your things about like Pecos Bill or the lumberjack whose name I can't remember right now, Paul Bunyan, there we go, with his blue ox. These kind of tales that are not true but circulated in the West at the time. And I think Johnson seems to be suggesting maybe that they were actually believed as though they were true. You know, we think of them as myth, but for these people, they're real. And I think that's an interesting observation to make about this novel. And we'll see more about this in the third episode of this podcast. We'll be talking about the end of the book. But I think bear in mind that the relationship between reality and the supernatural in this novel is not determined. He's not saying that these are hallucinations or that they really happened. We can't sort them out because there's something else, I think, going on here. So I'll leave you with that at this point.